Welcome to Flip the Switch on Life podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Marie. I'm an embodiment life coach here to help you live an empowered and soulful life. I guide women towards self-healing to take back their power so that they can start living life by their own rules and embrace their true authenticity. This podcast is your go-to where I will be giving you all the tools and resources to start the process of self-healing, doing the deep inner work, and developing your spiritual wellness. There is so much power in embodying your true self, but we often allow fear and comfortability to control our lives, keep us playing small, and settling for less than we deserve. By learning to rewire your subconscious, you will discover your truest and your highest self. You will learn how to take back control and flip the switch on your life. So thank you so much for listening. Now let's get into the episode. Hello, hello. I'm excited to share this episode with all of you today. So today we're diving into something I really haven't brought into the podcast, but I'm excited to share around body image, around self-worth, around really looking at how you are portraying yourself. So whether you are a leadership position, whether you are a coach, you are a healer, you are somebody who guides other people, or if you're somebody who is really looking to focus more on healing their relationship with their body, this episode is for you. And I have a good friend of mine on the podcast, Lara Days. She is a certified intuitive eating counselor, yoga instructor, and board certified health and wellness coach who's on a mission to dismantle the diet industry and empower people to live their happiest, healthiest, most confident life. And Lara focuses on helping you improve your mindset, unlearn your past conditioning, and trust your body so that you can find food freedom, ditch the diet culture, and step into your power. And I think this is so important because most of you know, if you don't, in a past life, when I got out of corporate and into entrepreneurship, I actually started a nutrition and online fitness business. And the whole premise was learning how to eat better for yourself and heal your relationship with food and all these different things, because mindset was such an important part of it, you know? And so this episode really spoke so much to me because it reminded me back to where I was and how I had to heal my relationship with food, and how when I healed the relationship with food, the relationship with my body image started healing and I started to show up more confident than ever. In my business, in my personal brand, but most importantly, within my friendships, within my intimate relationships. And so this conversation's all around sharing how we get to that place of empowerment within ourselves and starting to shift the relationship and really looking truthfully, honestly within ourself and asking the hard questions so that we can really get clear on healing. So let's get into the episode. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Flip the Switch on Life. I'm your host, Jessica Marie. I am so excited. I have a good friend of mine in front of me and also an amazing, incredible coach. So Lara Days, hi. I'm so happy you're here.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
Like, I feel it's so funny because we've been talking about this for a while and now you're finally on the podcast and you're in the same city as me, which is so cool. Like, too bad we couldn't do this in person, but I'm so excited you're here and the conversation we're going to dive into today.
Same. Maybe that's like future part two. We can go to a studio.
Yeah.
In person.
I think you can rent them in Dallas.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't. Okay. Yeah. I've always, like, side note for everyone, I would love maybe in 2025 having like a podcasting studio, or maybe my own, I don't know, but I definitely would love to do in-person things. So thanks for planting that seed.
It's planted.
Well, I'm excited to have you here. And so Lara, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit? And then I'll kind of share with our guests what we're going to dive into today.
Yeah. So I guess people probably want to know about my work. I am a coach, a healer, much like many of the people in your community. And I spend most of my time helping my clients find freedom with food, peace in their bodies, empowerment in their lives, and really just start to take a more intuitive approach to eating, to moving their bodies. And that has a much bigger impact on their lives than they may originally anticipate. We have all grown up in diet culture where we're taught that you should do whatever you can to be as thin as possible. And it has created a lot of people who are under eating, a lot of people struggling with eating disorders and disordered eating, poor body image. And that all, of course, leads to lack of presence, lack of focus, lack of energy, and just really impedes on our ability to live big, full lives. And so that is really what I focus on. My certifications are in nutrition. I'm a certified personal trainer. I teach yoga. I'm a certified intuitive eating counselor, a board certified health and wellness coach. So I do also look at things like, are we getting enough nutrients? Are we sleeping enough? And kind of the bare bones of health. But the deeper work, I think, is what really helps unlock the lives that people want to be living.
Oof. Yeah. I resonate with a lot of your story, also like my lived experience as well. And so again, my background, you know, is like from fitness and nutrition. Like that was my first little business that I started when I got out of corporate, and I fell so in love with the body and ultimately fell in love with the internal strength that I got to feel and the confidence in myself by, you know, being more on top of my nutrition and training. But what really, I think, stuck out, and I feel like a lot of people can resonate with this sense of like, you could be doing something external, whether it's like a passion project, your business, your brand, pouring yourself into a new relationship, you know, new environment, et cetera, all these like big things. But behind the scenes, you're not necessarily fully showing up. And so what I mean by that is that, you know, towards the end, which I didn't know at the time, but towards like the last standing leg of my nutrition and fitness business, I started realizing that, you know, synchronistically having a spiritual awakening, I think that's really something to also share. But I realized that like, wow, I'm helping people with macros. I'm helping people like eat better and, you know, get better in the gym. But I always noticed that the conversations were always, you know, I wanted to go deeper with mindset, but I realized within my own self that I wasn't actually fully embodying my work, meaning that there were still insecurities I had. And I don't ever believe you'll be fully healed in anything, but there was a sense of like hypocrisy, I think, internally that was happening. And so I was like, wait, so if I want to help people actually change their lives, I have to do the inner work myself. I have to like look at my beliefs, my behavior around nutrition, macros, training, all of that before I can actually lead somebody in. And I started actually attracting people I couldn't help, which was going through marital issues, and she wanted to lose 10 pounds. It was like so much more, and the gym's not going to fix that. Neither is nutrition.
Yeah. Losing 10 pounds isn't going to fix your marriage.
Yeah. And so it was like, I was attracting all of these women that I think were a reflection of the parts of myself that I didn't work on. And so I love that you're sharing like your, you know, logical science-y approach, but also the sense of like intuition and like checking in with your body and like really being the best version of you. Like you said, big, full lives. And I love that because all of us here are here to live a full, nourished, bold life, right? And so I would love to kind of dive deeper into that segue. And so Lara, if you're open to maybe sharing your experience with your body, or like even like maybe significant experiences you've had with your clients of, you know, why this work is really all integral. Cause you just said that in the beginning too, where it was like, it just affects more than one area. So I'd love to dive into like that part of ourselves where we really don't put so much attention on.
Yeah. So I think for me and my journey, and it is always, it's always present tense, right? Like you mentioned, our healing is never done. And for me, I used to be in a place of this like moral high horse when it came to nutrition and exercise specifically, where I was very gym bro, so to speak, like
yeah,
no same. Days off, earned not given. I'm taking my food scale to a restaurant because I'm disciplined and I have better willpower than everyone. And it was like, honestly, I feel like it's this brainwashing that can happen for people in the gym space. And like, I work in fitness, so I'm not here to talk shit about the fitness space. But if we're not super self-aware and we're not looking at the big picture, it can be very easy to get sucked into that mindset. And the crazy thing is, looking back on what I was doing now, I'm like, baby girl, those are disordered eating behaviors. Like, that you really think that it's cool to bring a food scale to a restaurant? You're so rigid with yourself that you can't have one meal that you're enjoying with your friends. Like, that's not discipline. That's a problem. And I think too, like, one thing that I'll mention is it's very different if you are like an elite athlete or you're training
or
for
like
competition. But like,
disclaimer,
most people do not need to be doing this. Like, it's just not necessary to live a full and healthy life to track everything that you put in your mouth, take a food scale to restaurants. I used to, if I missed workouts, even if it was like because I was sick, I would try to make them all up. So if I was sick for 4 days, I would like try to fit all four training days into like the next three when I got back to the gym. I was falling asleep at stoplights because I was so tired, and I was.
And you weren't training for anything. You were just like,
I was training. I did Olympic weightlifting, but like, I wasn't good enough that I really needed to be doing anything that intense, you know?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I was good enough to get to compete in the Texas State Championships, but I wasn't good enough that anyone was like, no one knew my name and I wasn't going to win anything, you know? So it's like mostly just a hobby. And I wanted to take it seriously, but I just didn't have the tools to do that. Like, I thought that overtraining was going to be better for my progress than like sleeping for more than 6 hours.
Wow.
And it was just not like, I just didn't know better. And the lack of education plus the ego, because I hadn't done any inner work at that point, was just kind of a recipe for disaster. And like, speaking more toward, you know, body image and how this impacts the bigger picture, I would get so many compliments from people, right? Like, oh my God, you're so disciplined. You're so willpower. You have so much willpower. I wish I had that much willpower. And so people were validating my disordered behaviors. And I hear this from clients all the time, like people who have had diagnosed eating disorders, like restrictive eating disorders, and people will be like, oh my God, you look amazing. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I have anorexia nervosa actually, and I'm in treatment. Like, and these things are praised. And so these behaviors that I was exhibiting were being validated and praised. And so again, that like kept me on my moral high horse and got to the point where I was so in it that I was like really afraid of what would happen to my body if I stopped. So it took a long time before I was able to loosen the reins and stop counting macros and actually take, I remember the first time I took a full week off from the gym, I like almost had a panic attack because I thought my body was going to change in like 1 week. Bodies don't change that fast for anyone listening who's in that place. They just don't. But yeah, I had to get to a place where I just was neutral. And I talk a lot about body neutrality. People like to use body positivity when they talk about my work, but I actually don't really align with body positivity because that is the idea that I'm not against it. It's the idea that bodies of all sizes, like people in bodies of all sizes, should be able to like the way they look. That's fine. But real freedom comes from knowing that we are more than our body, and it doesn't actually fucking matter what our bodies look like. And that is body neutrality, knowing that your body is good regardless of what it looks like.
Yeah. Wow. I love that definition. And I think that's so important, especially when you're, you know, navigating a lot of publicity or, you know, you're running a business online or whatever it is where you're being seen so often. And like, I relate so much to your story too, because I did a bodybuilding competition back in 2019 and, you know, to be truthful, part of it was like, oh yeah, it'll be for my brand. The other part was like, oh, I want to prove to myself that I can. And then the deeper rooted part was like, no, I don't feel worthy in the body that I'm in. So I want love. And if I, in the way that I get love is the way that I, you know, I have to lose weight to be at that level of myself. And so I have struggled with body image issues, maybe not to the degree of other people, but, you know, I've done that behind closed doors and I didn't really see it affecting my work and my life until it started to, right? And so it was like, even after the training and the nutrition and all of that, working on myself, it was like, now I, you know, work with other entrepreneurs and coaches and lifestyle clients. And still, like, that sense of worthiness in your body is so important. And so I really want to like start going deeper into like how we are showing up for others if we're caught up in what we feel about ourselves. And so I think that's something really, really, really important to mention. And like this whole sense of like passing it on. And like, I think that's so important to share, especially as women and as, you know, people in these positions leading other people. It's so important. And again, like, you might be listening to me like, I don't have a business. I don't coach anybody. I'm not leading anybody, but truthfully you are though, because of the people that are in your life. Like everyone, you're simultaneously and consciously influencing each other. And so Laura, I'd love to kind of dive deeper into like this concept is in your sense of what it means to actually like pass it on and how we are like how we show up for ourselves internally within our body is also reflective of everything else.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is that we cannot show up fully and be present if there's a voice in our head that is worried about what we look like or worried about what other people think we look like. And one of the things that I hear from my clients, and it's so interesting because I really haven't figured out a way to like speak to this preemptively, but my clients, when they finish working with me, will be like, I literally had no idea how much space this was taking up. Mm. I had no idea how frequently I was thinking about food, how frequently I was thinking about my body until it was gone. And this is where I think about things like even being on Zoom. Like you have your different Zoom settings, right? I have my camera's not turned off, but like the little thing with my picture in it, I like shrink it down because I don't want to be distracted by what I am saying or doing or looking like. I want to be fully present with you. Yeah. And if you're serving a client on Zoom and you're looking at yourself, or you're worried about what your hair looks like, or you're worried about whether they notice that you don't have mascara on, or you're worried about whether they can see that you're bloated, you're not being present with them. How can you serve your clients fully and powerfully if you're thinking about what the scale said that morning, or you're thinking about whether they're noticing these things about you? You can't. And the same is true, again, to like speak to people who may not be coaches and healers. It's like, if your kids come home from school and they're telling you about their day and you're leaning over and you're like, oh my God, my pants are too small. Then your thought is that your pants are too small and you're not listening to what your kid is telling you about their day.
Yeah.
And it shows up in like, yes, in more obvious places like sex and intimacy. If we're worried about what we look like, we're not being present in our experiences with our partner or partners. And like, this isn't just as it pertains to sex and intimacy. This is in meetings with your boss. This is while you're serving your clients, while you're listening to your children, while you're catching up with your mom, whatever it is, like those thoughts, if they're living rent-free in your head, are distracting you from being fully present.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, I think that's something to really, really think about too, is like the sense of how much real estate we're giving the thoughts around ourselves. And, you know, we talk so much about like self-criticism and the inner critic, but there is that sense of, you know, I think especially as online service providers or, you know, coaches and people who maybe will say utilize social media, right? It's not so much about, we don't talk so much about those internal things that are coming up, like within our body and, you know, our worth in that regard. It's more of like these beliefs within ourselves of in another regard. And so what I'm trying to say is that it all does really reflect each other. And like that sense of how much real estate are you giving those little voices that are coming up sharing like mascara. And like, even for me, like I didn't put on mascara before this call. And I was like, you know what? I think it's okay. I did my eyebrows, you know, and it's, and
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's also something too, where, you know, it's not to shame to like, want to like look good, feel good. You know, like for me, my body operates better when I am within a certain weight. And I don't mean to say that I'm like really focusing on the scale, but I've noticed because of my lived experience when I'm in my 140s, 130s versus high 120s, I just feel better. I don't just look better, but I actually just optimally feel better. So I'm like, okay, Jess, that for me feels really good versus being a little bit heavier. And there's nothing wrong with that. No shame. But that's where I found my optimal weight in my body. And I know that it's coming from a place of neutrality because of how I actually feel, not how I look. And so I think that's something really important to like recognize here, is that there's nothing wrong with like having goals for yourself within your body, but check in with yourself with your integrity. Like, why do you have that goal? What's the intention behind that?
Yeah. And even like my clients don't get on the scale. I don't get on the scale. I couldn't even tell you how much I weighed, because truly if we're checked in with our bodies, that doesn't really matter. Like yeah. I can just be able to say, oh, I'm not feeling great. Have my habits changed? Has anything else changed? I haven't been taking daily walks. Maybe I need to get outside more.
Yeah.
And because things also often are behavior based and not weight based. And you know, I have a client who's like, well, I need to get back to X weight because I felt really good. And I'm like, cool. What were you doing when you felt that way? Well, I hadn't had kids yet, and I was exercising regularly, and I was focusing more on eating all of my meals instead of getting distracted. And it's like, maybe that's why you feel better.
Yeah. Maybe
it doesn't actually have to do with the number on the scale. And so being able to tune into the bigger picture and know that the scale only tells us the Earth's gravitational pull on our body, and that it fluctuates vastly for people day to day. So yeah, my clients don't get on the scale at all. And it's really just more about like building the interoception, which is our ability to feel what's happening inside of our bodies, which we're not taught how to do. Building that interoception so that we can have the wherewithal to notice changes, notice how different foods make us feel, notice how different exercise modalities make us feel. And also, like, that's just building our intuition for all other areas of our life too. Like, maybe not ignoring red flags when we go on a date with someone because we trust our interoception and our intuition better. Maybe getting on a sales call with a client and like knowing that it's not a hell yes, and being able to feel that in our bodies. Like, these skills translate outside of food and movement, because you can't, like, you don't turn down your intuition in some areas and turn it up in others, you know?
Yeah. I think that's something really important to also recognize too, because I love what you just said. You can't turn it down in one area versus the other, because it really is all in flux and it's all in flow. And so again, coming back to that cliche saying, but I think it's valid, the way that you do one thing is the way that you do the other. And the way that you show up in one area is a way that you show up in the other. And I think that when we can really take a hard look at how we're showing up for our clients, how we're showing up for our partner or our dating life, our love life, and also for ourselves. It's like, where is that like less than 100%? And where are you pouring into one area more than the other? And a lot of the times it's not healthy when you're pouring into one area or another, because it should be all in flow and it should all be at the same level. And so I want to dive deeper into, Laura, could you share a little bit for those listening that's like, okay, like I understand that, yeah, you know, I have some maybe internal issues to work through, or, you know, my body worthiness isn't exactly where I want it to be. What are some ways? And I want to say this twofold. I would love to hear some like tangible things, but I also want to hear some of those internal things. Like you mentioned interoception and really like tuning into the body. And it, again, it goes beyond the scale, it goes beyond food. And so I'd love to hear from you, like, where can people start to really feel that visceral experience of themselves?
So I use this analogy. I've named it the marble analogy, where like, if you have a jar of marbles, that jar is our self-trust or body trust. And the littlest things that we do to honor what our body tells us, we get to put a marble in the jar. So that might even look like, I'm really thirsty. My water bottle's empty. I don't really feel like getting up to get a drink, but I'm going to get up to get a drink because I'm thirsty and I want to honor what my body's telling me. Mm-hmm. Marble goes in the jar. If we are thinking, I'm really hungry now, but I'll just wait 2 hours because that's when I'm going to eat lunch. Marble comes out of the jar because that's not building trust. That's ignoring a cue that our body is giving us. And no one has a perfectly full jar all the time. So this analogy is not to like create shame if you take a marble out of the jar, but just to say that like all of these little actions are what build that trust, so that you know you have to practice. If you haven't been listening to your body, you haven't been listening to your interoception and your intuition, then you have to practice doing it. And so grab the lowest hanging fruit. Maybe it is like, I want to take a bath tonight, so I'm going to do it. Great. That's building self-trust. Maybe it's, I'm supposed to go to a party on Friday night and I'm exhausted, so I'm going to send a gift and say, I'm so sorry to miss. I'm going to sleep. Mm-hmm. That's building self-trust. And like really just, I mean, it sounds stupid, but like you just have to do it, you know, like you just have to start doing it, even if it's little baby steps, and not beating yourself up if you realize that you haven't been doing it, and just starting again when you notice that.
I love that. I think that's so important. And, you know, I get that question a lot too, is how do you start trusting yourself? Like it doesn't matter in whatever area of life, you know, and it's like, how do you start actually trusting? And I love like this whole, like bringing it full circle of like the way that you do one thing is the way you do everything. And, you know, the way that you feel about your body and how that's actually being projected out is really affecting more than what you think. And so when we come back to that sense of self-trust, it is so important to really recognize those little cues. There was this one exercise my shadow worker at the time, which is, you know, alternative to the therapy, if you will, and working like with the darker parts of you and all this stuff. And so I remember I asked her this question years ago, and I was like, how do you trust yourself? Like, how do I actually trust my intuition, or like that inner knowing? And I remember her saying this like 50 to 51% that she, I don't know if she created it or if she got this exercise from somewhere, but basically what it is like, if you have like coffee and water, which I have in front of me right now. And so the 50 to 51% is like, I want both right now, but which one do I want that extra 1% on? Mm. And so it helped me create more discernment of like that, you know, that moral compass, I call it. And what you're saying is your intuition. And so I think it's really important for anyone learning to trust themselves to really recognize, okay, like where is my tipping point, or like that inner nudge that you're mentioning of how do I actually start trusting? And I really do believe that once you start doing that, and, you know, also again, coming back to the sense of like body image and worthiness and stuff. And I'm reflecting even on my journey as like we've been having this conversation. And, you know, what really helped me heal my relationship with food was actually the pandemic when I couldn't go to the gym. and I stopped tracking and I gained 11 pounds. And I remember that I was obviously at that moment upset that I gained 11 pounds, but I was like, I just kind of like, I stopped doing all the things. Like I was like, same thing, like 2 day maximum rest day of the week and all this stuff. And when I couldn't get to the gym, I found myself like not wanting to work out that much because I enjoy being at the gym versus home. And I remember this sense of, I got a dog, which is Rilo. And I remember I started walking him, you know, because I was exercising. And I lost 7 pounds on my own. And that was the first time I ever lost weight without macros. And I was so proud of myself that I was like, wow, I'm intuitively eating. I'm listening to my body. I'm trusting myself. And I allowed myself to gain the weight and just let it all go in a sense of like letting go of that rigidity, and that almost like rebooted my operating system, if you will. And it really started to develop that sense of trust. And so I love what you're sharing in the sense of like really learning how to trust ourselves in that capacity. And so what do you feel for people who are, I would love to kind of bring this like twofold, because I know that I have people listening that are business owners or utilizing Instagram for their personal brand. And I also have people that are just like, I just want to look and feel good. And, you know, I want to live my big, bold life, right? Whatever that looks like for them. And so, Laura, what would you give advice to for those two types of people that are, and it could be probably the same thing, but more so, what would be the advice for those people who are looking to like really reclaim their worth within their body and how that can affect other parts of themselves and their life?
So if you have a coach, maybe hash this out with them. If you don't, you can use these as journal prompts. But I love having my clients ask themselves questions like, who benefits from me staying small? Where did I learn that I had to look a certain way? What am I losing by focusing so much on my appearance? Who am I? And you can't list any physical traits. Who am I? Not what do I look like? Not what do I do? Right? Who am I at my core? And just really getting clear on what has muddled those beliefs, because we're not born hating our bodies. We're not born with any beliefs about bodies. It's taught to us. Yeah. And so we have to be able to use this level of discernment that we've been talking about in terms of self-trust with the world around us, and understanding that it's not our fault that we, if we believe that we have to be a certain size, look a certain way, because those are the beliefs that were programmed into us. But if we want to feel differently, and if we want to create a different world, it's our responsibility to change our own beliefs about these things.
So good. I love that. I love that sense of like, who benefits from me looking a certain way? I think that's so powerful, because we're so caught up in, you know, what other people think a lot of the times. And again, like we all have our moments, no matter, like I've been doing this deep work for a while. I still have unworthy moments about myself, about my body, about my work, you know, and I have to check in with myself. And so it's like that reminder and like that sense of repetition, you know, to create that habit of like, hey, it's okay that you're having a bad day. It's okay that you're having this thought, but like, what are we going to choose to shift it and change it? And I think that's I think that's so important.
Yeah. Cause ultimately it's about body liberation. And that's what a lot of work that's currently happening is about when we look at equity and equality and DEI practices. Like, it's all body liberation. All
Can
of it.
Can you share what DEI is?
Yeah. So diversity, equity, and inclusion, which many states are doing away with because they're run by old white men.
Yes.
But yeah, basically, like a lot of initiatives that we saw come into play in 2020 after George Floyd was to make things more equitable for people of color. And the difference between equality and equity is like, I think about, okay, my husband, he's not tall enough really for this analogy to work, but we'll go with it. He's 5'9", I'm 5'5". We're both looking over a fence and they give us both a 4-inch box. That's equality. I might still not be able to see because he's 4 inches taller than I am. Equity would be giving me an 8-inch box and him a 4-inch box so that we can both see over the fence, right? So that's what the initiatives are. And when we think about oppression and groups of people who are being oppressed, it is Black people, brown people, trans people, fat people. All of these are bodies. Like, it is body oppression. And so when we talk about liberation and freedom and healing and making a difference and holding space for all people, that's the conversation. And, you know, this also, I didn't necessarily mean to get on this tangent, but I do think it's important because when we talk about body image, those people are going to have a harder time healing body image because the world is pitted against them. Yeah. And so if you're listening and you are Black, brown, trans, some other oppressed body, right? Fat, it might be harder for you because the world was not made for you. And it's not as easy as it is for small white women to heal their body image.
Yeah. I love what you're sharing too, because I think it's a really important moment there and point and good reflection, you know, of transparency, of honesty, of like the world that we live in. And, you know, we talk so much about the patriarchy. We talk so much about, you know, coming back to this root of like, we weren't born with any of these beliefs. We weren't born with any of these conditions or programming. And it's the world around us that is pitted against us. And so it's really important to bring these sort of conversations up to topic. And also, you know, let's be honest, we're two white women validating our privilege and also acknowledging that there is work for us to do collectively and simultaneously to help create more inclusion for these other diversities and equalities, and really recognizing our part in that too. And again, if you are somebody who is in a position of leadership as a white woman, it is so important for you to recognize what that unconscious influence is actually also affecting. And, you know, in doesn't matter what color you are, but again, just like echoing what you're sharing and also taking responsibility and ownership and all of that. But it is really important to really recognize how you say things, what you say, and who it's affecting, because you really just don't know. And, you know, circling it all the way back, it really starts with you. Starts with healing your relationship with your body, with your worthiness, with your trauma, and really recognizing how can you get to a place of body neutrality. I really love that, and I want to adopt that word too, because I think it makes a lot more impactful essence versus the word of body positivity.
Yeah, like thinking you look good is cool. That's great. Like, there's nothing wrong with wanting to look good. But ultimately, we are humans first and bodies second. Like, the whole reason we have a body is so that we can have a human experience. It's not so that people can gawk at us or so that we can look great on our Instagram feeds. Like, that's not why we have a body.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And it's like that sense too, it's like getting even deeper of like, what is actually looking good? Like, what are you, like you had something compared. Like I use this with, you know, with my clients too, where it's like our brain, when we're shifting beliefs and when we're shifting into like a possible reality, AKA maybe I want to go from a $2,000 month to like a $10,000 month, right? I want to take 10 clients versus one client, all those different things. Those are new realities for us, right? New possibilities. And so our brain in this positive and negative it always looks for evidence of the past. Like there's not something you just conjure up, you're like, cool, yeah, that's my belief. It's like, no, it actually took it from something in the past experience. So when you're sharing that, it's really important to recognize that when we say we look good or we want our eyebrows done, like even thick eyebrows, right? That just came into trend. And now it's like people that have thin eyebrows, you start to be like, why don't you have thick eyebrows? I mean, at least my experience, I'm like, why don't I have thick eyebrows? I gotta get them penciled in. I gotta do this. And it's like, I feel like that looks good for me. But if I'm like really looking back at it, it's like, oh, that was a belief that was implanted within me to now say that that looks good. So it's like really looking like, you know, really picking apart like these parts of ourselves. And I want to like look good on camera. I want to look like this. I want to be that, using filters. And again, I'm not shaming anybody about doing that because I will take ownership. Like, I do that, but I'm also really aware of I do yes and. Like sometimes I have a filter, sometimes I don't. I'm okay to like, I'm more in that neutrality space, but it took a lot of work to get there. So I think it's important to really like pick apart, like when you want to look good, what does that actually mean to you? And where is that coming from?
And why? Yeah, exactly. Why? Like what is going to change?
Yeah.
I was going to say something. I forget what it was. So maybe it'll come to me. Maybe. I don't know.
But Laura, I love this conversation. I think it's so important to, again, just like, again, go deeper with these sort of conversations. Like coming from a background of bodybuilding, of nutrition, of fitness, you know, I get the thing of like feeling good in your body, and there is nothing wrong with like looking at your nutrition and, you know, being on a training program at all. But I think what you and I are sharing here is like getting to the deeper root of why. Getting to the deeper root of like, who is it benefiting by you doing the thing, and really finding ways to heal the root of your worthiness. And it just will not, it will never come from looking in a certain way. It's always got to be that internal self-worth within yourself.
Yeah. And we can and should create healthy habits for ourselves because we care about ourselves, not because we want to change the way that we look. Yeah. And I think that's one of the biggest flips for my clients is they come from a place of like, I'm eating these foods and working out in this way because I want to shrink, versus like, oh, I can actually go work out and move my body in ways that are joyful and fun for me because I have more energy when I do that. And it's helping me lower my cholesterol, and it's helping me have more energy to play with my kids or whatever. Like there are things, most things are that are much more important than what you look like. Yeah. And I remember what I was going to say before too, is like, this work can take a very, very, very long time. And so mm-hmm. I just want to encourage people, like, even if it seems impossible to get to a place of body neutrality, it is not. Start with baby steps, get curious about the things that you believe. Where did they come from? Who told you this? Who's benefiting from this? Because healing work, I think most healers would say that healing isn't about fixing things that are wrong with you. Healing is about getting back to the core of who you truly are. And so like, let's just start to shed some beliefs that aren't serving you anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really just love what you said about this sense of like, who's it benefiting by being X and doing X and feeling X. And that can be also like, you can use that quote for even when you're like being negative, who's this benefiting? Yeah. Again, just like this deeper introspection, reminder of reflection within yourself. And that to me is where you get to find your roots. That's where you get to heal. That's where you get to start loving all of you, right? Not just parts of you. And it will really echo in every area of your life. And, you know, I didn't really get into the whole sense of like after my breakup of over a year ago, it's like that really helped me heal this internal confidence where I was getting so many comments of like, you just look so confident, you're glowing. And it's not, I didn't change my weight. I didn't change my face. It was this internal reflection of like the internal worth that I was reclaiming within myself that echoed through the screen. And so again, whether it's body, whether it's your mind, whether it's your trauma, whatever it is, it's truly like when you start to do that deeper work of like loving all of you, it just starts to translate in every area of your life. So, thank you so much for this really like heartfelt conversation and vulnerable conversation, Laura. And so before we hop off, like, I would love to hear, and we'd love to hear, how can we connect with you? Is there anything that you're working on right now that we can get involved in?
Yeah, I am on the gram. So my handle is just my name, Laura.Days, Laura.Days. And I have a membership community where we've got people in there who are finding food freedom, learning more about health, healing their body image. And that is something that people can join anytime. So it's called the Nourished and Whole Collective. Mm-hmm. And we'd love to have you.
I love that. Laura, thank you so much for joining today.
Thanks for having me, Jess.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Flip the Switch on Life. Please be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you appreciate the show, please jump over to iTunes, give us some stars. If you're feeling for it, write a review. And if you want to learn more about these topics that we discussed today, check out the show notes for more information. Or you can also come hang out, shoot me a DM on Instagram. Instagram is Jessica Marie Stepp, and I will see you guys next week.